Thank you for taking the time to listen to this audio sermon from Apostolic Worship Center. Our prayer is that you'll be encouraged and blessed by the anointed Word of God. If you'd like more information about Apostolic Worship Center and its ministries, visit our website at www.awcnorman.com.
We're reading from the 17th chapter of the book of John, John chapter 17. The 17th chapter of the book of John is a very important chapter. It has been called the high priestly prayer of the Lord. And this is the Lord's prayer just prior to his crucifixion. And he prays in the 11th verse, John 17 and 11. He prays, "And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee." Notice in particular, he says, "I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled." And notice now verse 13, he says, "And now," somebody say, "And now." "And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves." For the next few moments, I preach from this subject, run home, run home. Would somebody say that with me? Run home. Would you ask the Lord to help us? Now, Jesus, I need your help, God, in the next little while, God, to break the bread of life here on this Sunday morning. Thank you, Lord, for the worshipers, God, that are in this house that have come with their hunger and thirst, God. A word in season now, Lord. We're asking you to do a great work of your presence and power. God, we want to receive your word by faith. Do it now, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. Would you, before we're seated, lift your voice and hands one more time to the Lord? And would you make a joyful sound, rejoicing, praiseful, worshipful unto the Lord Jesus Christ? Thank you today, Lord. I praise you today. I magnify you, Jesus. Praise God. Before you're seated, turn to your neighbor and tell him, run home. You may be seated. God bless you. Read an interesting story years ago. It's the story of a little boy by the name of Bobby. Bobby was a T-ball player, and it was his first T-ball game ever. Dad had worked with him. The coach had worked with him. And Bobby was ready for the big day. He stepped up to the plate, took his bat, lined things up, swung with all of his might, and lo and behold, if that bat didn't connect with the ball, and the ball went sailing across the infield and all the way to the outfield, leaving the opposing team scrambling, trying to catch the ball that Bobby just hit. However, Bobby was so excited that he had hit the ball that he forgot to run. He was watching the ball sailing into the outfield, the opposing team scrambling to get it, and his coach behind him hollers, "Bobby, run! Run, Bobby!" Bobby takes off like a light, running with everything he's got. He makes it to first base. He heads to second base. He's just about ready for his foot to land on second base when the coach realizes this is fixing to be an infield home run. And he hollers at Bobby, "Bobby, run home! Run home, Bobby!" Bobby makes an immediate left at second base. Runs across the infield, across the pitcher's mound, and slides into home base. bypassing third base. He was told to run home, and the only home Bobby knew was just that one that was up at the front of the diamond, and he ran with all of his heart. You know, sometimes the only strategy you and I have in life, the only options you and I have in life, the only thing you and I have to do is sometimes make a sudden pivot in life. And in spite of the conditions and the complexities and all of the complications of life, is just simply to run home as fast as we can run. That's the best thing you and I can do in a world that is just overburdened with life and troubles and despairs and problems, is just for us to make that decision to run home. We look at the Word of God, and we find so many interesting stories in Scripture, and we read of great exploits that were done, giants that were slain, lions that were killed in pits, and great courage that was shown on a snowy day when that lion was killed, and 1,000 Philistines that killed single-handedly by one man. We read of victories that was given to one with nothing more than just the jawbone of a donkey, and how God did great exploits. But when you get to digging through all of the stuff that is going on there, and you get to looking at all of the things that are happening, you realize that these people are just common, everyday people that are facing life's problems and life's difficulties. And for some of them to make sense in life, for some of them to handle life's adversities, they simply had to learn how to run home and pour their heart out before God. We read of one by the name of Jacob, who was a mastermind when it came to raising livestock. He had a tremendous knack and gift for producing nice herds and developing the livestock across the landscape. But Jacob reaches a point in life where he can no longer handle life on his own, and of the brook called Jabbok, Jacob simply ran home, and there he found help from God. We read of one by the name of Jehoshaphat, a king in the nation of Judah, had risen at a time at great difficulty, and through his masterful ability, he was able to bring success to the nation of Judah. And yet, at a time when he was surrounded by an opposing enemy called Moab, he had no place else to go. He bypassed his commanding officers. He didn't consult his generals. He didn't go ask the men of war. He simply went to the Lord, and Scripture says he set himself to seek the Lord. He ran for home. David, that great big victorious man who has slain a giant, who has accomplished so much, yet at a time when a city had been burned and an assassination of David was being talked about, he sits down in the ashes, and Scripture says that he didn't go seek anybody else. He didn't seek any outside counsel. He simply lifted his voice to the Lord and called out upon his God. Let me just make it very clear in the outset of this morning that it doesn't mean that you're a wimp. It doesn't mean that you're not capable in life. It doesn't mean that you don't have a few experiences under your belt because that you go to God in prayer. It simply means that there's some things in life that were only meant to be handled at the throne room of God. And the strongest amongst us must learn how to run home. Those who are the most educated must learn how now to run home. Those who have the most experiences in life must learn how to run home. Those that have the most capability at their disposal must learn how to run home. And Jesus asked Simon Peter, he said, "Will you also go away?" And Simon responds and says, "To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." So I ask this congregation on this Sunday morning this question: where are you going to go to find an answer in 2023? Where are you going to go to find a solution in this moment of political turmoil where our world is rocking and reeling and everything is turned upside down? I'm telling you, there's not a self-help book that can provide answers for you. There's not a self-help book that can give you direction. There's not a counselor that's got a big enough couch that can provide enough answers for you. There's not a program that is sufficient enough to take care of the difficulty. There's only one place, and that's the throne room of God. I would that every man, every woman, every boy and girl would find out, there's a place I can go. I'm running home. Does anybody feel a voice that's saying, you know what? It's time just to turn left and run home as fast as we can run. You understand, everybody's got to learn how to run to Jesus at some point in life. Everybody's got to learn how to come to Him and make their needs known before God. It doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor. It doesn't matter whether you're educated or uneducated. It doesn't matter whether you live in a palace or the poor farm. Everybody needs to learn how to run home. For Romans 10 and 12 said, "The same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him." Everybody, hear me now. I want to proclaim it from heaven. I want to announce it on every spirit in a dark place called hell. Everybody can run home. Somebody say, run home. Jesus, one of the great lessons that He taught amid many lessons that He taught in His earthly ministry, He taught those lessons by parables, little stories that He gave that illustrated a point that brought home a message. Or He taught things by object lessons. He would take a child and set the child on His lap and say, "For such is the kingdom of heaven." Or He would teach by metaphors. He would use a mustard seed or a pearl or a little bit of salt, and He would teach His lesson. But when it came to the matter of prayer, Jesus did not use any kind of parable, and He didn't use any kind of object lesson or metaphor when it came to prayer. Jesus taught prayer by His own personal example. He taught us that there is, in times of life's difficulties, only one way to handle our problems, and that is to pray. What Jesus taught us is this: is prayer is not a ritual. Prayer is my refuge. Now, I want to get that across to us today, because if we're not careful, prayer becomes ritualistic instead of my place of refuge. It becomes something I do for 5 minutes before I walk out the door, and then I forget all about those few little words. It's just a little head that's bowed here, a phrase that's spoken there, and it becomes more than our daily ritual, and it ought to become my refuge. I don't pray every day just because that's what good Christians are supposed to do. I don't take time to bow my head just because that's what good folks following Christ are required to do. Can I tell you, prayer is my shelter. Prayer is my refuge. Prayer is my strength. Prayer is my help. Prayer is the place where I find peace. Prayer is the place where I find solace. Prayer is the place where I find comfort. Prayer is the place where I find the delivering hand of Almighty God. You don't have to force me to go to prayer. I want to find those walls of safety. You don't have to require me to go to prayer. I want to find that place of solitude. Prayer is a place of refuge. Has anybody found out that prayer is your greatest? Oh, can I tell you, whenever things turned upside down in your world, go find the refuge of prayer and you'll find a place of peace in the midst of the storm. When the prognosis has come in and everything has turned topsy-turvy, go bow your knee before God and bow your head and say, God, this is where I'm at. This is what's going on. This is what's taking place. And you'll find out that there's a God in heaven that'll wrap His arms around you and provide for you a refuge in the time of difficulty. Prayer is my refuge. Jesus believed in prayer. In fact, He believed prayer always works. Now, for some of us, we treat prayer like any other product on the market. It might or might not work. It works some days and some days it don't. But for Christ, prayer always worked. Remember Him standing that day in Bethany Memorial Gardens. And as He stood there in that cemetery, His friend Lazarus has been dead now for 4 days. And he's being assaulted with doubt, and all manner of criticism is being thrown at him. If you would have been here, our brother would not have died. So Jesus demonstrates what you're supposed to do when you're assaulted, when you have all manner of criticism brought against you. He demonstrates in John 11 and 42. He lifts His voice and He begins to pray. And He says, I knew that Thou hearest me always. That Thou hearest me. Does anybody believe that God always hears your prayer? Come on now. Come on. Does anybody believe that God always hears your prayer? Now let me ask it a little different. When you're praying, and you're praying, now probably nobody here, but for others that might be out online, we'll talk to them. You folks can just listen in. But there are times when we pray. Has anybody ever had that moment when you pray and you felt like the carpet absorbed your voice and the ceiling held it down and the walls caved in on it and you prayed, but it was just words? It was just sound coming out of your mouth, and you backed up and you came at it from a different angle and you tried praying a little different direction. Don't look at me like angels. Come on now. Is there anybody in the house that has had real prayer time? You pray. Now can anybody acknowledge with Christ, Thou hast heard me always. Thou hast heard me always. Even when the carpet absorbed my voice and the ceiling held my prayer down and the walls caved in on it, somehow sound was getting out. Somehow the prayer was getting through. And just when you thought it wasn't getting through, it was getting through. So we got to come to believe that He hears me always. There's a second thing Christ teaches us in His prayer, that not only does prayer always work, but prayer is what restrains the attack of the enemy. Remember that moment when He comes to Simon Peter and He says, Simon, Satan hath desired to sift thee as wheat. Satan wants to come in and find out what you're made of, and you're going to be attacked by Satan in this process. And then Jesus turns to him in Luke chapter 22 and verse number 32, and He says, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. He says, Simon, I know that Satan's going to come against you with everything he's got. And I know Satan's going to do everything he can to dismantle you, to distract you, to disturb you. But I have prayed that thy faith fail thee not. Prayer's the only thing that puts the devil back on his heels. Prayer is the only thing that restrains the power of darkness. I am no match for satanic attack. But when I take on on the spirit and the mantle of prayer. Prayer restrains the attack of the... Has anybody felt a little attack from hell lately? Has anybody ever felt the devil coming against your mind and your spirit? Has anybody ever felt the devil trying to disturb and disrupt? Why don't you lift your voice and just run home and tell God, God, the only way that I can get through this is I need to restrain the power of darkness through the power of prayer. Would somebody lift your voice right now and just do it? Run home. Come on, prayer is the only thing the devil understands. Come on, prayer is the only thing. I'm preaching to somebody on this Sunday morning. Prayer is the only thing that's going to help you. Prayer is the only thing that's going to get you through. Come on, sweet mama. Why don't you run home? Come on, daddy. Why don't you run home and pray? Just pray. See, there's a natural instinct. There's a natural instinct to go to God in prayer. When you look at Abel in the Old Testament, we find him building an altar, offering a sacrifice of worship unto the Lord. And yet, there had been no commandment to build altars. There had been nothing recorded in our Bible as to give instruction on how to approach God in worship. And yet Abel does so. Could it well be that the natural instinct of man is simply to go to God in prayer? And if you'll let the natural instinct go, it will always take you to the throne of God. If you'll let the natural instinct go, it will always take you to the porticles of heaven. Scripture says concerning Seth that when Seth was born, men begin to call upon the name of the Lord. What caused them to call upon the name of the Lord? Scripture does not say. It must have been some natural instinct in an evil and a vile world that they lifted their voice and said, you know what? The only thing we can do when it's as bad as it is right now is run home and talk to our God and pour our hearts out before the Lord. I wish somebody let that natural instinct go and just run home to the Lord and pour your heart out in prayer. Jesus gives to us in his example of praying in the 17th chapter of John this beautiful moment. He comes at a crucial hour. He's moments from the cross. He's moments from the most terrific experience ever known to mankind. He's just moments away from this cataclysmic event that's about to take place. He's feeling the pressure of it. He's feeling the weight of it. He's feeling the load of it. Can anybody relate? There's things. Now, he, as God, knew the future and he knew what was about to come. You and I don't know our tomorrows. But oftentimes we feel the pressure before tomorrow ever gets here. Come on now. You just feel. And all of a sudden when it happens, you say, you know, days before, maybe even weeks before, I felt that pressure. I felt that load. I felt that stress. And in that moment, it's not for me to ignore. It's not for me to shove it aside and say, oh well, and just kind of lay it up. It's in that moment, knowing that there may be this moment yet down the road, that we go to God in prayer. So Christ comes now as God manifested in flesh. He shows us how man in the most crucial hour, the most difficult moment, the most extreme conditions of life are to run home to the Lord. Notice in John chapter 17 and verse number 5, he prays a very specific prayer here in this fifth verse. He prays for the glory. He prays for the glory that I had with thee before the world was. In other words, Christ acknowledges the moment where I am right now is not what has been. My present is much more difficult than my past. If I could only go back, If I could only turn time back, if I could only turn events back, if I could only go back to a better moment, a better hour, a better time. There's many of us that are living our entire lives in our past. We're living our entire lives in what has been, what was in the past. We're living in the glory of those moments, and now here we are in the present, and the present is bearing upon us with circumstances that are so pressurous and so difficult and so dark, and we're fighting to go back. So what the Lord teaches us is when I reach that point in life, when I reach that point in life where my present is different from my past. Remember, this is the one that in the book of Psalms, he said, I own a cattle on a thousand hills, and all the beast of the forest is mine. But in his present, the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. In his past, he could have said, the cattle are all mine and the beasts are mine. But in the present moment, he's got no place to lay his head. But he says in John chapter 17, now I come to thee. Whatever my present is, it may not be what my past was, but in my present, I come to the Lord. Can I tell you, you can't reclaim what was, but you can pray through what is. You cannot claim what was in your past and restore that. That is now gone. But I can pray through the present that I'm in and break through into a brighter tomorrow and in a better future. And the only place I get that done is when I come to the Lord in prayer. Come on now, quit wishing for yesterday. Pray through today. Quit wishing for some moment in your past that was the glory of that hour. Why don't you just pray through where you are right now? Why don't you break through that cloud where you are in the moment? Why don't you just find a place where you can say, God, you know what? This isn't what I had yesterday, but this is where I am right now. But you are able to help me in the moment. You're able to keep me in the hour that I'm in right now. Does anybody feel an urge to run home? I gotta run home. Verse number 9 of that 17th chapter of the book of John, he prayed not only for the glory that had been, for the present that was now upon him, but he prayed specifically for those that had been given to him. In other words, he said, I take the responsibilities that you've given me. I take what you have placed in my hand. And he said, God, I've done the best with it. I know what to do. I've done everything I know to do with what you've given me. You know, the devil would like to shortchange us by telling us of our failures with what has been invested into our hands. I haven't done well with what's been put in my hands. I haven't done good with the responsibilities given. He said, but I did the best I could. He said in verse 6, I manifested the name unto them. Verse 8, he said, I gave them the word. He said, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. He said, now I come to thee. In other words, when I have done the best I know to do, and when I have given it my best shot, I must go home to the Lord in prayer. I must pour my heart out before God. Don't let the devil beat you up with where you are presently, that you haven't done everything you can do. Just simply say, you know what? I gave it the best shot I could. I tried my hardest. I gave it my best effort. Now, all I know to do is go to you, God, and pour my heart out to say, God, make up for my inadequacies, make up for my weaknesses, make up for my lack, add to it, Lord, complete the picture, because God only asked me to do the best with what I got. Oh, I wish I could preach a little while on that. Come on, I wish I could preach on that a little while right now. Because in this success-oriented, success-driven culture that we live in, we measure ourselves by our triumphs and we measure ourselves by our successes. And he said, look, you gave them to me. I did the best I could. Now I'm offering it back to you. You make up for whatever I lacked in this entire picture. God, I come to thee. I'm telling you, prayer works. Prayer will help you through. Prayer will get you to the other side. But not only did he pray for the present, not only did he pray for those that had been given to him, but in verse number 12, he prayed a very specific prayer. He said, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, watch now, I have kept. Watch. And none of them is lost. But, now that's a three-letter powerful word that changes the scenario, changes the picture. But the son of perdition. I took what you gave me and I did the best I could. But at the end of the day, I lost. Those are two words that we have a hard time saying. I lost. Why don't you turn to your neighbor and tell him, I lost. Christ said, you gave them to me. But I lost the son of perdition. I didn't manage to keep that one. I didn't manage to make it through. With that one, I lost. But then notice verse 13. Watch now. That 13th verse says this. And now come I to thee. I lost, but now I come to thee. You see, what we got to learn how to do, we got to learn how to take our failures to the Lord. We got to learn how to take all of those shortcomings, those places where I didn't measure up, those places where I messed up, those places where it didn't come out quite the way I wanted it to come out. And I got to learn how to take it to the Lord and say, now I come to thee in prayer. I'm running home to you, Lord. That's the only, if you don't, your failures will kill you. All of those things that you've bungled and messed up, all of those balls you've dropped, all that stuff that didn't get done, all that stuff that you thought could be done but didn't get done, that you thought you could see yourself through, somewhere you just got to come to Him and pour it out. Does anybody hear me on this Sunday morning? The only thing that we've got to do, our only option is I must go to Him in prayer. I must go to Him in prayer. The greatest need of this hour that we're in right now, the greatest need of this moment, the greatest place that you and I are in is we don't need more finances. We don't need more resources. We don't need better clothes. We don't need more homes. We don't need more promotions. What we need is to run home in prayer. Oh, we got to run home in prayer. That's our only answer. It's not an artificial intelligence. It's not in all of the expertise of this present world. It's not in all the technology at our fingertips. I'm telling you where your answer is, sir. I tell you where your answer is, ma'am. It's when you decide, I just got to cut to the chase. I got to run home. I may not get everything done on my agenda today, but I got to go home in prayer. I may not get all of the check marks placed on my to-do list, but I gotta run home in prayer. I might not accomplish all of my goals, but I got to go home in prayer. I may not get done with all of my agendas, but I've got to go home to the Lord in prayer. And if I'll go to Him, I'm telling you, He's waiting to wrap His arms around us and say, I hear and I will answer, because there's strength in prayer. Somebody stand with me today, and would you just lift your hands from wherever you're at in life right now, from whatever junction you're in, would you forget about one on the left or the right, the front or the back? Would you just lift your voice to God? I wish somebody in the building right now would just run home. To Thee I come, O Lord. To Thee I come. To Thee I come. It's the greatest thing you can do. It's just to come to God in prayer. It's the greatest thing that can happen, is if you just come to God in prayer. I want you to take just a moment now across this congregation. I want you to begin to verbalize right where you're standing. I want you to speak to Him. Just you and Him now. Just personal communication. I want you to bring Him your failures. I want you to bring Him your present. I want you to bring Him the responsibilities of the moment. And I want you to tell Him now, O Thou that hearest prayer, unto Thee shall all flesh come. Come on, you've tried everything. Why don't you try pouring your heart out to God? You've tried handling it every other way. Why don't you just try pouring your heart out now before God? Just emptying your spirit before the Lord and saying, God, here I am. I pour my heart out now.
You have been listening to an audio sermon from Apostolic Worship Center located in Norman, Oklahoma. We are located at 3221 North Porter Avenue, Norman, Oklahoma, 73071. Our service times are Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m., and we also have various ministries happening on Wednesday night. For more information, visit our website, www.awcnorman.com. You can call us at 405-329-1285 or email us at info@awcnorman.com. We hope that this recording has been a blessing to you.